This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Benke, and I'll be your host today. I've got with us in our studio here in Bend, Oregon, Veronique Vaughn. Veronique, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
We've got a lot going on the next 2 weeks, which I'm excited about, which we might talk about at the very end. But
yeah, super
so it's
exciting.
Busy, but it's a very good busy.
Yes.
Because it's super meaningful.
Yes.
So I'm feeling good about
that.
And we've also got Bobby and Becky Hobby. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Hey, we're doing well.
Yeah. So this week's a big week, right? Because here at our local church, we're going in person.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
So that is pretty cool.
Super exciting.
So also means a lot of things got to shift and change.
It does. Yeah. Yes. Becky and I have been running hard throughout these last 10 weeks.
Yeah.
We're super excited for the next level.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. Almost all of it's great. So I love that. We also have with us a guest that I am looking forward to talking to today. I've enjoyed getting to know a little bit. We shot some videos yesterday with this gentleman, so I'm excited to talk to him. He is the director of Heaven in Business. He is an author. His latest book is called Finding Hope in Crazy Times, which is absolutely unbelievably good timing. I think people definitely need hope right now. So I'm excited to talk to you today. Day Andy Mason, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, thanks Chris.
Yeah,
and thanks so much for driving all the way down here, like in person, like a real person, and helping us film and capture that yesterday. So great to meet you in person too.
Yeah, absolutely. It was actually pretty fun, and we got a lot of planning done on the way down, so that was good. So we're here in Bend, Oregon, and where are you coming to us from in the world right now?
I am from Swayze Recreation Area. Actually, it's my house, but we back onto a recreation area, so it's beautiful. In Redding, California, so Northern California.
Got it. And we can tell that based on the way that you talk, that is not where you're originally from. So where are you from? How long have you been in Redding?
From, like I like to say, from south of Texas. But if you got to go south, like way, way south, 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 and then west, and you land eventually in this dot of two islands called New Zealand. So being in the States for 12 years.
Yeah. And so how was it coming from New Zealand to the States, like transition wise? Was it good, bad? Do you enjoy it? You ready to go back?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it was a shock for us because we never thought we would leave New Zealand. So it was like literally a 2-3 month period from never leaving New Zealand to being in America.
Wow.
So that's number one. Number two was, we at Redding, it's like, so Redding, California, like I hadn't been to America,
right,
let alone Redding, California. So
right,
I thought that America was television. Like everything you see on television, that's America. So, which looks like concrete jungles and body enhancements and crazy stuff. And it was a very, very pleasant surprise to land in Redding, California, which is
right,
very much northern, rural, beautiful surroundings. So that was really good. And then probably the third point is, although you'd say it's a Western culture, New Zealand's a Western culture, there were a bunch of different things, you know, cuts of meat are different. The accent, people don't understand me. 12 years ago, it's like foreigners. We don't rent to foreigners. It was a whole different, Reading has changed a lot since then, which has been also interesting and
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I can imagine that there's these perceptions, right? And then, you know, some of them were probably somewhat accurate and some of them weren't. And some of that was good and some of that was probably a letdown a little bit. So it's very interesting, you know, cultures. Western doesn't necessarily mean the cultures are totally in a line. So that's cool. And you're the director of Heaven in Business. So can you give us a high level, what exactly is Heaven in Business and what's the work that you guys are doing?
Yeah, Heaven in Business is a grand experiment to test what is possible when we fully partner with God in our places of work. Wow. So it literally is experiment. My background is business before coming here. And then I love this environment where it's like, what is possible when heaven invades earth? And so for me, it's like, well, that's got to be the business realm. The heart of cities is the economic engine. That's where the city's mothers and fathers come from, leading. So what does it look like to partner with God in a place of work? So starting 10 years ago, we just literally started connecting with a local business and have built that out now where there's 6 employees, there's a whole team, and really going after what is possible to, how do we help people experience God in your place of work? To know who you are, know it's a first-class calling, then partner with God with wisdom, understanding, presence and power of God, build excellent business, and then really use your place of influence to serve your city well, which could be otherwise called as discipling nations.
Wow. Mm, that's awesome. Andy, in this crazy time, in the storm that we have had, how has that now, how have you been guiding people and really leading people into this change?
Yeah, I said, which crazy time?
It's
just like, oh my God.
Exactly.
This year has been crazy time after crazy time after crazy time. So we do have an online platform. So that's been really good with Heaven in Business online. And so obviously that's pivoted even more towards that. So initially we just gave it away longer for free. And then we started to say, God, what are the greatest resources that are needed right now? So the first thing we started is a weekly prayer meeting. So literally anybody anywhere can jump on that. And it's not just praying, but it's teaching business people how to pray in the context of both strategic and tactical. Strategic being, I want to hear what God's saying and partner with that. And tactical being specifically praying after measurable, tangible goals. And we do that in an environment which is around good news, as in what God is doing rather than getting hung over what is not happening. So that's been one thing. And then what I've done is intentionally interview or got on call with somebody each week that's been practical and speaking into where people are at. So that looked like interviewing a marriage and family health therapist on how to be relationally, emotionally strong and recognize red flags as we're stuck at home. It looked like interviewing a guy in Australia who's really a genius at change management. How do I navigate change and change my company and pivot? And what are the keys to that? Through to other entrepreneurs of how do they survive? How do you make decisions in crazy times? So that's kind of the things that we've gone after. And then as a team, obviously our in-person events have been canceled and that's $40,000 that's fallen out of my budget. So it's like, God, what do we do? And just got some really cool strategies that what we thought would or could actually destroy the very fabric of our business and the business model has been pivoted us to realize, oh my gosh, I've got a brand new opportunity of how I can reach and serve people all over the world through online executive retreats that 2 months ago I would have never even believed was possible. And now we've got people saying within 5 minutes, I didn't even know it was virtual.
Wow. That's amazing. That's incredible. Yeah. So can you just share a few stories of what God is doing out there with those that are in Heaven in Business?
Let me jump in. The reason why we love Andy's stories is because he's always looking for what God's doing. That's what we love about you. Yeah. You're full of testimonies everywhere. Yeah. You stir it up all over the planet. So give us some of your God stories.
Yeah. So here's two simple ones, and they're local. So that's the beauty of it. So one is a company. It's actually called Turbans for Tots. And this is beautiful. So they make those little bands that they put around babies' heads. No offense to the mums. They're probably not called bands. There's some beautiful in a turban. It's called a turban. And they're beautiful and they're pretty. And this business has just grown from nothing to what it is now and doing really well. And then in the middle of COVID-19, everyone's sheltered at home. So what do they do? And she said in her language, the voice of the saints. It's like we need to have the voice of the saints in our lives. She had a number of different people come to her and say, hey, Jenna, how about you make some face masks with the material that you're making using for these turbans? What if you made face masks? And she ignored the first two or three and then finally realized it was being repeated. So what if she did it? So she literally pivoted the business and realized, what if this is God speaking through? I love that Proverbs 1 says, wisdom is found shouting out on the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes we just got to tune our ear. It's like, oh, I'm hearing that. And so she pivoted the business, and it was the best month of sales in the history of the company.
Wow.
And then so she's been able to bring her staff back on more hours than they were in January. Sales are up on this time last year, and she's now developed a whole new income stream. All because she listened to the voice of the saints. So that's just a cool story. That's one, and she's just delightful in telling the story. Another one is Dave. Dave has a pet food supply company, Dog Treats, and it's kangaroo meat. So literally they import kangaroo meat, which is really, really healthy, and it's Dog Treats. And as you can imagine, imports and imports and sales, and who cares about Dog Treats in the middle of COVID when you're shut down? And, well, I'm stuck inside, so you're going to be stuck inside as well. Well, Dave is down in sales. He's not hitting his targets, and he's, God, what do I do? What do I do? And he just has this thought, Jacob sowed in famine and reaped a hundredfold. So he's like, okay, what do I do? He felt like God was telling him, sow, as in give away some of your Dog Treats.
Wow.
For that month. I think that was the month of March. And it's doing the month of March. And he just said, this doesn't make sense. I've got a national company. Why would I give away product in Redding, California? Like, national Redding.
Right.
National Redding. Where? Redding. So, but he was obedient to that. Literally put it up, put, you know, Dog Treats in these little bags, paper bags, with a, you know, a request, if you've enjoyed this, would you go and post a review on the pet supply company page? And then literally went around a series of different people and dropped these little baggies off with Dog Treats in front on their doorstep, which on the first level resulted in some conversations with people that had been shelter at home and hadn't had a conversation for a long time. That was number one, which was pretty amazing and eye-opening. Yeah. But then secondly, for that month, he just loved it. And the joy of giving in the middle of it, like a crazy time, was fun. But then the following month, because of the reviews, and it was something like only 22 reviews, but because of those reviews, and I just would have to say the breath of God, sales were up 176%.
Wow.
So just a couple of really fun, cool testimonies in the middle of this.
That's great.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
Wow, that I love that. I love that it seems like, it's not always the case, but I love that it seems like a lot of times God's strategies are counterintuitive and they're countercultural. And it takes that stepping out in faith that that is not, you know, and sometimes the counsel that you're going to get is, what are you, crazy? Like, that's not how you do it. But the obedience of doing that can result in incredible stories that really show that, you know, God's way is not our way, and it's not always so intuitive. So it's great to hear that stuff. And I know as time progresses and we all try to understand what has happened to the world, there's going to be a lot more powerful testimonies and things because of the work that you guys are doing over there at Heaven in Business. So definitely thank you for doing that. I did also want to reference this book. I got a copy of it here. If you're listening to this on the podcast, it's called Finding Hope in Crazy Times. You definitely need to check this out. So you can go to Andy's website and get this. You can pick up this and see more information at andyandjanie.com. We'll put that in the show notes. But this isn't your first book, but this book, this just came out, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, Finding Hope in Crazy Times. Did you, in March, did you decide you need to write this and whip this out really quick? I mean, how is this possible, right? Like, tell us the story on this book.
Yeah, we're not that smart. Yeah, this is actually, it goes back to August of last year. And my wife and I remember us driving down to Chico for some, I don't know what it was. And we were just talking about just where God would have us and my wife's gifting and my gifting and how can we work together more and what would that look like. And one of the low-hanging fruit that we pondered doing was I journal. So I have a journal here, you know, whatever different version. This one I got given by some friends, so I'll use that journal. I use our Heaven and Business journal. I'll journal. And I found that that's an anchor for me, and I'll write down things that I'm hearing God say as it applies to my day. And more recently, I've shared some of those, whether that's a blog or it's just telling the story in behind the scenes of what we've been navigating. And it's really encouraged people. And so between Janine and I and talking and processing, we said, what if we take some of the stories or journal entries from my journal and turn it into like a devotional style story, scripture, application, prayer, and what are you going to do? As in, it's not just hearing God, it's what does it mean? How do I practically apply that? And the context for all of this was for the last 12 years, leaving New Zealand, coming to a new country, navigating no income for 3 years, health challenges, fire that surrounded our house, all of these up and downs, literally crazy times. The one thing that's anchored me in hope has been the Word of God. And not just reading scripture, but hearing His voice as it applies to my day-to-day challenges. Like literally things we put in here, you know, show me what you've heard. There's these different topics from it's okay to depend on God, finding Christ in your storm. God is my abundant supply. Nothing can contain you. The gift of correction, just series of that. We put that in here and said, what if we just, let's work together. So Janine identified the journal entries. Janine then took those and turned them into a, like something that others could read. Like, I don't know if you guys have that translation challenge. And then put it together. And we finished it actually in December. And then December through to now, or I think we launched at the start of April, was just the putting the pieces together. So
wow.
It was almost like, can we even do this? It feels like it's wrong to put, it's like it's that crazy, stupid Christian thinking of like, oh, how can we leverage a disaster to sell a book? But it's been great. It's like, come on, don't be stupid for such a time as this.
Yep.
Right.
If you don't, somebody else will. So yeah, it's really, really practical and helpful.
Yeah.
Andy, we so have appreciated you and your impartation to us here at Eagle Mountain, and also you coming down, bringing a team to Hub Nation, and just speaking into what we're doing here. We're so excited to have you as a speaker this year again, and to just release what you have been given. One of the things that I love about Andy is that he's not only tangible transformation, you know, city transformation, but he's also balanced. How do we do it? By hearing God's voice, listening to the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest and probably most balanced marketplace speakers that I've ever heard on that. I don't want to do anything without God's presence. I don't want to do, but at the same time, everything we do has to be measurable and scalable. Yeah. There's this amazing balance here, Andy. Can you speak to how that has come about in your life and that balance of, yes, I want tangible, but you have to hear the voice of God?
Yeah, I would say it's come through scars, body scars of getting it wrong. I think like even more recently learning, I grew up in a, like I've never not known kingdom. So just the grace of God to be a part of the churches that have always believed the kingdom of God is way bigger than the church of God. It's throughout the earth. And so being under that environment, prophetic, apostolic, has been normal to me. But what I recognized more recently is I want to be like that. So out of my own inadequacy and fear and insecurity, it's like, I want to be my pastor who prophesies and teaches and moves in miracles. This is New Zealand. And now I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I was so trying to be that gift because that looked more successful, looked like what I wanted, rather than fully embracing the gift of God on my life which is in connections and strategy. Like the prophetic in me is like a question that unlocks somebody's life. And when I start to embrace that, it can change the world of where I influence. So I think the journey of integrating those two things together has really come from where I've gone wrong, where I've mixed or messed it up, and really even coming here and just learning as we go and being in an environment where it's okay to learn along the way. We try things in our city. We tried at one point these, what did I call them? Best of business series, where I brought in some of the best people I know to train and teach on marketing, on business strategy. And I thought this was a genius idea to serve my city, and who would not want this? And we'd have 20 people. And I'm like,
wow.
Are you kidding me? Like, I'm bringing some of the best people in the world that I know to train, and you don't want this? And so I got offended. Like, it's like, well, I'm no, like, internal world. And then I started to realize, oh my gosh, now my fence is repelling people. I'm not having any influence. And then I take a step back and realize, oh, what has God called me to do? Stick to that. Stay in my lane. So a lot of what I've learned is not because I've done things beautifully, but because it's just been this messy journey of, yep, don't do that. Yep, Bobby, don't do that, Bobby. Listen to your wife. Yeah, it's just like walking those things out. And like, just slow down, enjoy the process. Good. Where have I lost my joy? Where have I lost my peace? And then keep, I think maybe that's old. Is that age? Like, once you get older, you start to realize, oh, yeah, maybe I should have listened to my wife 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's this wisdom that comes with, I told you so, honey.
Yeah.
You know, just watching you talk, it's so, so beautiful to watch. You are not afraid to be grateful for your mistakes. I think that is so incredible. Oftentimes in Christian circles, you know, you better not get it wrong. If you get it wrong, don't talk about it. You know, let's just go get healing and never mention it again. And just watching you communicate through that is actually really healing. Just, you know, you haven't touched on anything in my life, but watching your attitude and the way that you are just communicating about it. I just said, thanks. That's really even touching me. And I'm sure that it's touching some people who are listening. I wanted to ask, I know that you are, you speak at Bethel School of Ministry. Okay, so you have. Last couple months excluded. So if you, you know, get in front of a group of the students. Now, we know that the Bethel Supernatural School of Ministry is specific. It focuses on the supernatural, right? It focuses on bringing people into their calling and letting them be able to practice their gifting. But it definitely has that supernatural element. You have a very tangible element to what you're doing, and I would love to hear your opening speech to your students, if you would, on kind of bringing them down to earth a little bit, you know, just like, this is the importance of living, believing what you believe, but living it out like this. Not to put you on the spot or anything, but just to kind of hear your heart for that would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't so much speak in the school as a whole, as in we have a class or an elective, which is I build a business that demonstrates God.
Yes.
And one of the funny, it's like, so the beauty of our environment is you come into the environment and there's, you know, 1200 students in the first year, which range from 18 years old through to 70 year old. It ranges from neurologists, neurosurgeons through to people that have never had a job before. So there's just such a ridiculous, from Africa to Russia to Poland to England to America, like, there's everything in there. So within that mix, everybody comes into an environment in the first year which is primarily around identity. And the message is, you're a child of God, and you're not a slave, you're not an orphan. He's a loving father. God is good. He's with you. You were born from the miraculous. It's not something you do. It's who you are. So what Bill Johnson took 33 years before he saw his first miracle, and then 6 months before he saw his second miracle. Now we have students that come into the environment, and within 6 weeks, they're seeing miracles, like physical miracles happen. It becomes normal as a part of the momentum and the culture and the environment.
Right.
Well, it is like in this phrase, oh, that was amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. Now, that's really awesome and wonderful. So then but if someone leaves the environment thinking, I'm amazing, like I'm just going to pray and boom, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
What's missing is the practical, tangible work ethic, character, right. Which is actually parenting, which is now the older students already have that. They came in with that and they're right. Like, oh my gosh, God is smiling. That was my experience. They have that. They're like, wow. Detox from accomplishment and accumulation and realize that God loves you for who you are.
Yeah.
For a younger population, that they're like, I'm awesome. And God thinks I'm awesome. And I'm going to change the world. And that's good. Like, look out. Well, here we go. I'm awesome. I'm amazing. And they don't know. They've never held a job before.
Yeah.
So it depends on, this wouldn't be the first message, but as we go in depth, I'd be like, okay. And this wouldn't be in the first year. This would be the second year. Okay, guys. Know how everywhere in school you're told that you're awesome and amazing? I say, well, you're not. Like, if you go out with that attitude, you've done nothing to your nature and character and identity. Yes, you are incredible, amazing, and awesome, but you've done zero to add value to the planet. So until you do that, don't go running around saying how awesome you are. Get out there, find a need and meet a need. Turn up on time, clean the toilets the best, love the people the best, be early, stay late, work hard. And it's like, and don't tell me you got lost in a prayer meeting and you couldn't turn to work on time. You can then go and work for somebody else. So it's just that some of that real practical in the loving, in a loving way. Yeah. I love you guys. This is awesome. Yeah. But go and get a job. It's going to really help you learn and grow in your walk with God like never before. It's called
so
character.
Good. Yeah.
Wow.
So good.
Yeah,
I know that's an elective, but man, that's a heart for kids right there. That's a parent's heart. Everyone needs to hear that, you know.
Get a job. It's like, give it a job. Right. Like, I can't. COVID-19.
Yeah, exactly. Andy, I'd love to, you mentioned something a little bit earlier. I'd love to go back and push into that a little bit. You talked about I think you were referencing as kind of heading into this situation we've been going through the last few months, how you had to pivot or do different things, and you heard, Andy, you need to stay in your lane. Like God saying you need to stay in your lane. So I guess what I would say is, for the people that are listening, they're all across the board, they're all across the world, and they might be thinking, that's great for Andy. He's got heaven in business. He's already got it. He just needs to stay focused, and that's amazing. He's already doing something amazing. But I guess my question would be for you is, what do you say to the person who finds themselves right now where it's really not obvious at all what their lane should be? And so they're just kind of floundering and wondering, and I think the sad thing is I think that there are a lot of people now more than any other time in the last few hundred years probably that are in that spot, and they really, really want to know what that lane is, and they'd love to get in that thing and start going, but they're drastically doubting what it is and how to figure out what it is and what they should do. What's your advice to that person?
Yeah, I mean, is that a soft pitch for what are we going to talk about at the conference? I mean, so that's the, hey, God, what now? Literally.
Yeah.
And now I think there's different aspects of that depending on what those people are. This is the other book that you guys have seen or may not have seen, is Dream Culture. It's, who did God make me to be? Yeah. What are the dreams and desires of my heart? And that will literally, so for $12, they can go through that and go through the exercises and literally work that out. But then there's others that may not be, I mean, depending on where you're at, is they may not be in that position there. They know this is where I'm at, and I've got four kids, I've got this debt, I've got this house, what do I do? That's like, hey God, what do I do now? And that is, there's so much there. It's like, I would say number one is pause Like, I think COVID has been the biggest, like, you know how God uses things for good. So here's the good side of it. I'm not going to say it's good. I'm going to say the outcome has been the gift for me.
Right.
And for so many, is it's a pause, step back from your life and look at what you're doing. Is that what you're called to do? Now, some people, it's like, well, you don't have a choice because you can't do it anymore. That business is devastated, gone, it's over. You're going to have to do something differently. For many of us, it's like, I need to step back and say, wow, I've got caught up on the treadmill of accomplishing things, whether that's social media influence, whether that's the biggest church or ministry or biggest budget or biggest business, whatever it is to stop and be still and take time to listen, like literally sit at his feet, hear his voice and say, God, what is it that you've given me to do? What have you called me to? And take some time to do that. And then it could be the best season of people's lives to learn. I've got one of my daughters is, she's 17, just graduated as a senior in high school. She had her course mapped out. She's like me, like, Trevor, I'm gonna do this. I'm like, wow. And suddenly she's not even sure if she can go to university or not. And she can't have a job. And so she's like, what about the money? What about this? Which I'm sure is reproduced in many people all over. So I said, babe, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. What you can do is sit down and learn. And I said, so I would love to put together a course for you over the summer where literally for the next 3 months, I've prescribed to her some, I want you to read this book and give me a summary, All in Startup by Diana Kander. You might get into, she wants to be in international community relations and human rights and sort of go the legal, political influence. I'm like, awesome for you, but this is going to help you if you understand business, if you understand story brand, how to communicate, because the people that are telling the stories are the ones that are influencing culture. Ray Edwards' book on how to write copy that sells, how to communicate effectively, jump on Y Combinator. So I literally walked her through how you can be positioned to whatever you step into next, you're going to be able to do it so much better. So I think that's what I'd say. Number one, step back. Listen to the voice of God, ask for wisdom. And number two is say, is this a time for me to learn something differently? My son, 16, he's learning CAD software and programs right now over the summer when he's stuck at home. And I'm like, you want to do that? Or you want to go dig something in the backyard? Like, oh, no, I'll learn this. It's like, there's so much we can learn right now. And then number three is you have wise counselors around you. Wise resources. Talk to people and say, this is where I'm at. This is my skill set. This is my base. There's a bunch of different resources around reapplying, re-looking at the workforce. And I can send some to you afterwards if that would help.
Love that. Yeah, thanks, Andy. I love that you're very practical that way. Let's cameo a chapter in the book, Finding Hope in Crazy Times. Again, chapter 19, your leader is not your limitation. How did that come about? Let's describe some of that chapter.
Let me look at it. That's this one here. You can see that all the notes all over it. And this one, I mean, I talk about this one was, I'm just checking, I'm thinking of which situation is probably more the story of which story of where I've been so frustrated that a particular leader hasn't promoted me like I expected them to, or another leader has literally stopped me from doing what I felt God had called me to do, and I'm frustrated and get angry and then partner with rejection and just get like irritated and upset and then be faced with myself and realize, oh man, this story in here, Acts 7:9, and the patriarchs becoming envious sold Joseph into Egypt. It's the patriarchs, they're called fathers. Like it even uses that word, the fathers. The fathers in the environment were envious of Joseph and sold him out. It's nothing new. But God was with him and delivered him out of all of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh. So it's been this journey where I've had leaders people that I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if you just did this right now, your life and my life would be better. And they just can't see it, don't do it. And whether it's my own insecurities and fears, or I don't know. I don't know if it's human condition and nature. Sometimes because of what comes out of it, it forges something in us that's so beautiful. I remember during, when I went, I finished the first year school of ministry in this environment. And then I heard God say, go and talk to Danny Silk about doing a third year program. So skipping from first year into third year. Now, if there's anyone from the school of ministry, stop listening. Don't hear this because you're not supposed to do this. And I remember talking to my leader, my revival group pastor. And she's like, oh, I don't think that's God. I don't think you should do that. And then I spoke to the overseer over the third year program. And he said, no, it's not God. And not only that, but Bill Johnson does this and Bill says this. So basically I'm going against God, against my leader. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And because of the way I grew up is follow the leader, do what you're told, respect authority, and especially God was involved.
Yeah.
Like now I've got all of this different pressure and I had to get to the point, well, that's what they're saying God said, but this is what I heard God say, well, I think I heard God say this.
Mm.
So it was a real tentative for me to step out and say to Danny, well, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. And Danny's like, yep, you're with me. Come with me. Let's do this.
Wow. But
the point was, it was a gift from God for me. Did those people hear God or not? I don't know. But what I know now is I needed to stand on what I heard God say, regardless of what others heard. And so this is, my leader is not my limitation. I am. And actually what I've found is that God's the one who can get us out of any situation. He turns a bad situation to a good situation. And that's the kiss of God, regardless of what I go through.
Yeah.
The fathers became envious. This is repeated throughout church history, throughout business history, school history. It's everywhere. Of leaders that we think love us and have the best for us, they become envious because we're so awesome. Because we've been taught by them,
and
the goal is that we go further, but then we start to shine, they like get intimidated by the very gifts that they helped grow in us,
right?
And it's just like the human condition, it's like, I'm gonna shut you down, or they're just oblivious. And it's the gift and an invitation to come back to man shall not live by leaders alone, but by every word that comes from the voice of God.
Wow.
And having our faith and trust in Him alone, that if I will allow this to shape me and sift me and prune me, that, oh, it's like God is my future. He's got more invested in me than anybody else, and it's going to be okay. I'm going to get there too.
Yeah, that's so great. What a great chapter in the book, and I think someone just needs to hear that right now. People just listening all across the planet. This is a good word, timely word for us.
Totally.
So, Andy, as we kind of head towards wrapping this up a little bit, I'd love to hear from you the practical side of finding hope, because I think, well, first of all, seriously, if you're hearing this, you do need to get this book. The stories and being able to relate to it, I think, is powerful. But aside from the book, the practical reality of needing to find hope in an environment where you can't find it. And you're feeling like you're listening to this and you're thinking, yeah, again, that's great for Andy. He's got it all together. He's in, you know, Reading, and he's got heaven and business, and it's all going well for him. He has no problems, right? But what about me? I can't find hope. And I just feel like it's a little cliche to say, you know, you got to go find hope. But what would your practical advice be to that person? Like, how would you address that kind of cynicism?
I mean, I'm not going to get into the story of competing with who's got the most miserable life and difficult and challenges.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter where you are, wherever there are people, you're going to have challenges. Even in Bend, Oregon, I heard. In spite of how awesome the mountain biking and skiing and everything is. So here's what I would say is build a life based on the Word of God. There is no way around that. So here's what don't do this. Whatever you do, do not turn on social media, CNN, Fox, BBC, whatever is you fancy. Do not turn that on before you have first got the Word of God and actually filled your life up with what He's saying. And you say, well, I don't know what He's saying. I don't care whether you know or don't know. You don't know what the media is saying. You just feed on that,
right,
and it's shaping your life.
Right.
How about the Word of God will shape your life even more, whether you feel it or not?
Yeah.
So I'd say, number one, you want hope. So I would start with the book of Psalms. Now, if you struggle with the book of Psalms, go to the book of Proverbs, and there's literally a proverb a day, a one chapter. You know, it's the first of the month, read Proverbs 1. If Proverbs, it's the 15th day of the month, read Proverbs 15. That will help you.
Yeah.
And what I find is as I read the Word of God, I'm asking Him to feed me, to speak to me, and I'll hear that something will pop out, something will stand out, something will get highlighted. And even if it doesn't, it's like the Word of God becomes flesh and dwells as a part of me. It's like antivirus. It's like anti-negativity. And so I'll do that. So that's number one. And number two, find people of hope and stay around them. Steve Backlund, if people haven't come across that, ignitinghope.com, ignitinghope.com. He is full of resources. God led him to Round Mountain, Nevada, which is literally the, I shouldn't say the worst place. It's a small mining town in the middle of nowhere where he had to strengthen himself in the Lord or he would die emotionally and spiritually. So he's developed a set of just the way that it's like, you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. His declarations, his finding joy. There's so many great resources. So number one, the Word of God. Feed yourself on that. Number two, make sure you turn off the negative voices and the hopeless voices, which is the media. I guarantee you, if you just turn that off and go 7 days with no media, your life will be better.
Amazing.
Guarantee. If not, come back to me and I'll give you money back.
Absolutely.
So number three, find a person of hope. There are sources of hope everywhere. And you'll know because as you listen to hope, your expectation for the future increases. It's like I have a better and better expectation for a good future. That means you're listening to hope. If you're listening to another voice, whether it's someone that follows Jesus, loves Jesus, and the more you listen to them, the more that you think the world's ended, the world's ended, the world's ended, I just want to dig a hole. You're not listening, and they're not listening to the voice of hope. And the voice of hope is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus walked the world when the world was a mess full of poverty, injustice, and they were an oppressed people, the Jews under the Romans. And yet he was full of hope regardless. And he died. So it's kind of like really bummer. Or not.
Right.
He was always full of hope. So
the
Word of God was like, especially all you charismatics like me, Pentecostals, charismatics, become an evangelical when it comes to the Word. Like, get that Word in you and read it and discipline it. And
so
it's these daily disciplines that help us stay full of hope regardless of what we're facing.
I wanted to just touch on something that you mentioned earlier. You had a phrase that said you partnered with a fence in a story that you were mentioning. And I, as you said that, I felt like, and as you've been saying other things, in reading the Bible and in diving into what the Word of the Lord is saying, you're partnering with hope and you're partnering with the Lord. As you were talking about other stories, I just saw people in this time maybe struggling with partnering with disappointment or partnering with disillusionment. Just, you know, the everyday things, like maybe businesses have totally gone under, or you've lost all your savings for the future during this time, and there's just this raw, hurtful feeling that you've partnered with. And I just want to encourage you, just like Andy's saying, in terms of diving into the Word and diving into the whole purpose that Jesus brought when he was on earth, was bringing hope. And in partnering with something, it means that you are actively unpartnering with the thing that brought you to that hopeless place to begin with. So I just want to try and make that as clear as I can. If you find yourself needing hope or needing something to lift your spirits, partner with the Lord. But as you partner with him, unpartner with what you have been agreeing with that has been ungodly. Actively unpartner with it as you partner with Jesus and his hope.
Well, that's so good, and it's practical. And I think no matter where we are, I think everybody could take that recipe and apply it, and it would be super, super helpful. So Andy, thank you so much for the time today. So this book, Finding Hope, again, if you're listening to this, you need to go to Andy's website. We'll put all the information in the show notes.
Or Amazon. Find it on Amazon.
Or find it on Amazon.
There,
and when you find it on Amazon, buy it and then leave a review. Reviews are super important, you guys. They really are.
Yes.
So leave a review. And let Andy know how this has affected you. Andy, there's Heaven in Business. There's your website. There's these books on Amazon. What is the best place for people to find you? Because you've got incredible resources kind of in several different places. What's your? Where should people go to find the best stuff from you?
Ask my wife. she's the best stuff. AndyandJanine.com. So okay. Andy and Janine is JANINE, so AndyandJanine.com, and they'll find the podcast, the resources, the links to Heaven and Business,
so
all
awesome.
In there.
Awesome. Awesome. So go there and we'll put that stuff in the show notes. So Andy, thank you so much for that. And then I wanted to chat about one thing for just a minute or two real quick. And then if you're listening to this or watching, you want to stay on because we got a little video you don't want to miss at the very end. But so Andy, so in about 10 days from now, you're going to be speaking at Hub Nation Digital, and I don't want to spoil that too much, but I know that that talk is going to be about the story of your pivot and some other things that you've kind of been faced with in this time. Can you give us just like a 1-minute snapshot about what we can expect for Hub Nation Digital from Andy Mason?
Yeah, I lead Heaven in Business. We've got 6 employees. We've got rent to pay. COVID hit and it destroyed a line of revenue that we need in order for my employees and my future. And so in the middle of that time, it's like, how do I change? It's literally the, hey God, what now? And so I was reading Proverbs, it was Proverbs 4, and just heard God clearly through that, don't change the subject, which didn't make sense. Like, we can't, God, haven't you realized there's COVID-19, we can't do this. And through processing that with a person of wisdom, it was like, don't change the subject, change the delivery. So we literally pivoted, adjusted what we did, launched a whole new way of doing what we never knew we could do before. So I wouldn't have done that without God prompting me to go that way. And not only is it going to replace the revenue that we've lost, but it's multiplying our influence, literally by saying, hey, God, what now? So that's what I walk people through, the story of what happened, but also the process in behind it, so people can follow that process and do the same for themselves. And I've been doing that for the last month, virtually with a group of people, literally walking day by day and teaching, this is how you do it, this is how you hear God. Now, what are you doing? And we literally go case study by case study by case study. Mm. And I'm finding people all over the place are doing the same thing. And truly, the voice, it's like that, man shall not live by bread alone or by PPP loans alone or by the government alone or by my job alone, but by every word that comes from the voice of God. Mm. That's what this is about, is, hey, God, what now? How do I pivot? How do I change? How do I do things differently?
Wow, that is, it's so good and it's so timely. And what I love about it is real time. This isn't like something that you dusted off for Hub Nation Digital 2020. This is like real time. This is what's happening, and it's powerful. And I think it is a message that is universally needed right now, because there's literally no one in the world that is not touched in some way by what we're facing right now. So it's so good. I'm really excited about it. Bobby, any thoughts before we wrap this up? I think it'd be awesome if also you'd pray for Andy real quick. And then I want to make sure you guys stay on and watch this last video. But if you could go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, if you're watching and you've sat under Andy's ministry or been to Heaven in Business or any of his conferences or read their books, you know exactly what I'm talking about. My first book was Dream Culture. His wife is an amazing speaker too, by the way. And what a great powerhouse couple. They're amazing. I want you to go get his stuff. It will bless you. You know how, and maybe you've heard it said, it's not just the words that you say, but the spirit by which you speak. Mm-hmm. When I look for someone to speak into my life, that's what I look for. Not just amazing words or one-liners, but the spirit by which they speak. And Andy truly has an excellent spirit. We're so thankful for him and his wife and what they're doing. So I just want to say thank you, Andy, just for just being a good friend to me and Becky, and just what we're doing here at Eagle Mountain. Thanks for pouring into that. You've done that over the years and been faithful to bring your team up. And so we can't wait to see you again. But yeah, we're always excited to see what comes out of Heaven in Business. And we're always excited to have you a part of Eagle Mountain and Hub Nation. So thank you. But yes, let's pray for Andy. Let's pray for his team. Yes. And let's pray for those six employees and all of those who follow their ministry. Father, we bless Andy. We bless our friend. And God, we just send heaven's blessings to them, the opening of heaven doors to Andy and to his teams and to the team there and to the employees and all the families that those employees represent. God, I know Andy's heart for his people. And God, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to break in supernaturally for them. We want to hear more stories now of even the heaven's opening and the supernatural breaking forth for them, God. Let them be able to write their own books and their own stories out of what you do in this time. It's the perfect God opportunity. So, Lord, we just know that that's what you're up to. We expect nothing less, and we speak forth the finances, God, for Andy really to be able to pivot like that and to, in a moment of global pandemic, to hear your voice and to have the courage enough to step out and do something brand new. God, bless him for that. And bless him even more financially and even more abundantly, God, in the spirit. We bless the team there. We bless his bride and his kids. And God, we just say in the name of Jesus, let Heaven in Business team and tribe prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.